The gentle healer came into our town today. He touched blind eyes and the darkness left to stay. But more than the blindness, he took their sins away. The gentle healer came into our town today. The gentle healer came into our town today. He spoke one word that was all he had to say. And the one who had died just rose up straight away. The gentle healer came into our town today. Oh, he seems like just an ordinary man, with dirty feet and rough but gentle hands. But the words he says are hard to understand, and yet he seems like just an ordinary man. The gentle healer, he left our town today. I just looked around and found he'd gone away. Some folks from town have followed him, they say, that the gentle healer is the truth, the life, the way.
Tears, if you were to cry, I'd keep you warm if the sun went down. And I'd build a fire we could sit around. 'Cause you're my best friend, right from the beginning until the end. My best friend, and I'd stand beside you through thick and thin. I'd find you shelter if the rains came. I'd trim the sails if the wind changed. Now I'd build a bridge if that river rose. If you were weary, I would share your load. 'Cause you're my best friend, right from the beginning until the end. My best friend, and I'd stand beside you through thick and thin. Now there's nothing in this world stronger than my love for you. Don't be afraid, I'll be right here. You can always count on me. Just take my hand, and I'll do what I can. 'Cause you know that I'd do anything. You You're my best friend, and I'd stand beside you through thick and thin. You know I'd stand beside you
from Rome to Washington. He flies for all the world to see this image of apostasy. He was chosen son, the devil's number one. Turn away from the eagle, turn away, turn away. This image and this idol. Turn away, turn away from this proud and lofty wicked beast who leads this world astray. Turn away from the eagle. Turn away. He strives to build his nest amid the planets, among the stars. He's left his mark on the lunar soil and on the monuments of Mars. Like the breach inside a wall, his pride will cause his crown to fall, and he'll come tumbling down just like a house of cards. Turn away from the eagle, turn away, turn away from this image and this idol. Turn away, turn away from this proud and lofty wicked beast who leads this world astray. Turn away from the eagle, turn away. Jesus Christ, and the words, thy kingdom come. Don't wait too long, too late to learn. You'll be the fuel this fire shall burn. You'll be the eagle's prey unless you turn and run. Turn away from the eagle. Turn away. This image and this idol, Lord, I pray you turn away from this proud and lofty wicked beast who leads this world astray. Turn away from the evil, turn away from the evil, turn.
The day I rest, my weary bones, I'll go to sleep, but not alone. No more to cry, I've found my home. The grave is bare, he rolled the stone. I look around, another way, and see much more than here today. I've traveled far to reach the grave. No more to weep, no more. are a slave. The Lord above, He watches o'er His scattered sheep to reach the door and open up forevermore the day these bones will lie no more. The day these bones will lie no
sky. Why have all the legends passed us by? I'm almost afraid to ask the answer to the problem that's on this simple question in my mind. Feel the four winds, have they been bursting forth from battered sin? Blackness is the likeness of my soul, harboring the images of a glorious vision trapped within, purging every hope inside my heart. Everything worth fighting for, and everything worth dying for, and everything worth living for, shattered right before me like a scourge.
Release my soul.
Explodes, fading into black and white.
the modern man forgot. Everything was fighting for, and everything was dying for, and everything was living for.
Shattered right before me like a skull.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the By Yahweh's Design broadcast for the 24th day of April, year 2022. I am your host, Pastor Dan. The topic for today's broadcast is Road Trip Report. And we dedicate this broadcast to our Heavenly Father Yahweh, who is the Great I Am. We also dedicate this broadcast to His Holy Remnant, who are the believing sons and daughters of Jacob, who was later named Israel. Today, these people are known as the Caucasian, or the true Israelite peoples of the world. Hallelujah, which means all praise Yahweh in ancient or Paleo Hebrew. To my Welsh kinsmen, Shumai, and welcome to the broadcast. Kumi Ambeth and Borada. Of course, it's afternoon over there, but over here it's still morning. We do have a website, www.pastordan.net, and Pastor Dan is altogether with no spaces, and it is .net. We have a daily mail page on the website where we try to keep it updated with pertinent information, whether it's about health, current events, politics, whatever. And we have a home page where there's information for the folks out there that wish to help us out financially. The Contact Us page is a way to get me a message if you don't have my personal contact information and or you don't wish to use the bydpastordan@yahoo.com, which, by the way, is the way you get a message to me during the broadcast. This is a new platform, and again, we apologize for any disruptions or inconveniences switching to this that may have caused, but it was necessary. Free conference call just stopped working, and I believe the Father wanted to shift gears a little bit for this time in history. Being able to play the music, I believe, is therapeutic for our people. It certainly is for me. I lost that feature when I went to free conference call, and so going to this platform allows that. However, taking phone calls and getting messages, etc., is much more difficult with this platform. But to be quite honest, it is better for me as the person speaking to you to not have to monitor the messages or the phone calls, etc. I know they're enjoyed by many people, but again, it is more that I have to monitor and try to keep in order. And I am getting to be a bit older here now, so things I used to do 20 years ago aren't quite as easy as they used to be. But praise Yahweh, thanks to his organics and naturopathic remedies and all, this old geezer is still kicking, and hopefully will be for some time to come. Especially in these latter days with everything that's happening, I think that's very important. So again, there was no broadcast while I was on the road. I did not take my equipment with me, and I had my reasons for that. The stay at my relative's home was longer than I anticipated, but there was benefits from that. I won't go into the details of that, but Yahweh has blessed me tremendously through the love of family with a gift for helping me with transportation. And that is a major, major plus for me, and I'm very thankful for that. But it was also an opportunity to spend time away from all of the ruckus and the chaos of this sick world, and to witness the fact that there are still decent people walking this earth. We haven't lost this war yet. I hope people realize that. We're in an ideological war, and it's not over. As some people say, you know, it's not over till the fat lady sings. That's referring to sports, of course, and some other events on major media. But Yahweh has said, and we're going to get into some quotes here in Scripture, that this is a battle to the very end. And he told us through the prophets and his own testimony while he walked this earth that things at this time would look quite chaotic. And trust me, they do. But he said, that's the way it has to be. And, oh, Ella says, older but better. I don't know about the better part, but I'm certainly older. So thank you, Ella, for the kindness and generosity. That's the beauty of this ministry. It is a small ministry. It has always been for 22 and a half years now. And before that, it was on speaking tours and in personal engagements at events and gatherings. So it's always been a very, very small ministry. But the part that was rewarding to me was that I felt like the gathering of souls in this ministry has been the cream of the crop. And I only say that because I'm looking back past almost 35, 40 years now of teaching the identity truth. And because of my career and the leading of the Holy Spirit, I've traveled a lot. I've seen a lot of things. I've visited with many of our people over the years. So I've got a very good sampling of so-called leaders of identity, so-called believers at the gatherings. And again, I feel blessed that our audience has always stood out as head and shoulders above the crowd. So if there is an analogy, I would look at it as Messiah when he walked this earth and he had his disciples or apostles, who at that time numbered 12. So he had a very small gathering around him, and they preached to many thousands during his ministry, of course. And there was great rewards for that and great changes, just as 22 and a half years of broadcasting and the travels, etc., has produced fruit with our people. And we're going to get into some of the scripture here where the Father talks about the fact that we will do war or make war with our enemies, not always by weapons, swords, or today would be an AR-15, let's say. But many times it's simply by telling the truth, preaching the truth when the world is in a sea of lies and misinformation and deception. So don't always think that it's our job to run out there and go to war, literally to war, with the beast, because that day will come, according to Scripture, according to Obadiah and Ezekiel, and even Malachi. The day will come for the extermination of the wicked. They will be exterminated. They are evil. They cannot be converted. They cannot be saved. Yeshua himself said so. And so the day will come, but in the meantime, you and I, as flesh and blood men and women, we do not make the call as to the timing of things. This is Yahweh's plan, his logos in the Greek, which is the spoken word or his plan. It can be translated either way. And it's both. It's his plan and it's his spoken word, where he presented his plan for mankind upon this earth. So it all makes perfect sense, doesn't it? Let's see here. Okay, Lane just said he was having some problems with his computer, but apparently it's at his end, so hallelujah. Apparently, he's okay now. So a lot's been going on since the last broadcast, obviously. The world continues down the path of insanity, which is what happens when the wicked govern. Okay? I mean, really, you can boil all of this down to the very essence of teachings within Scripture, where we are told that when the righteous govern, the people rejoice, and when the wicked have rule, the people mourn. Well, people are mourning. At least people with a heart, people with a conscience, are groaning and mourning. There's weeping, wailing, and gnashing of teeth because the wicked have risen very high. So the world is insane. But the world does not worship the truth. The world does not love and covet truth. It does not want righteous leadership, because if it did, we would have it. So the wicked, because they control the money presses, and many of our founding fathers talked about this issue, you must never let bankers or any other institution, private institution, control the issuance of your currency, because the people who control the purse strings control every facet of your society. I mean, come on, it's common sense. And yet, while the Jewish bankers worked day and night like termites to undermine the sound money system that our founding fathers had established, based on biblical principles, by the way, hard assets, gold and silver, being a basis for currency of value, okay, a holder of value, that was common sense, and the nation prospered under that. But starting in the early 1900s, the Jewish bankers got together at Jekyll Island and elsewhere, but that was where they really put the plan together, in secrecy, as always. And they took us down a different path where the bankers now controlled the currency, the value of it, and the issuance of it. Then that gave them the tool, therefore, to take over control. So once again, when the wicked are in control, the people mourn. The people groan. So it's really very simple. The solution to the problems is that the wicked must be removed from power. And how do we do that? Well, it starts with acknowledgement. It starts with understanding what's going on in the world around us. And then you combat it with truth and wisdom and sound reasoning. And you get other people to see the evil that is going on before us, and most people just don't seem to be paying attention. So, and as some of the quotes that I'm going to talk about here, in fact, let me read the quotes right now since they're appropriate to what we're discussing. because these are solutions, and some of this was mentioned in a video that was put out by Academy of Ideas talking about the mass psychosis that we're living through right now. But it's because we have gone from people who were not afraid to being people who are embarrassingly afraid about everything. Okay, I got to, before I read these things here, let me turn off my notifications here, if I can figure out how to do it. Oh my gosh. Computers. All right, hopefully that was it. All right, now, Richard Buckminster Fuller said, and this was some time ago, you never change things by fighting the existing reality. To change something, build a new model that makes the existing model obsolete. And that's starting to happen. People are talking about parallel societies, parallel communities, parallel economic systems outside of the ones controlled by the beast. And that part of that video was showing examples where even in totalitarian regimes, there were islands of people who were operating completely outside of the totalitarian system. We always assume that even under a dictatorship or totalitarianism, that it's 100%. In other words, you can't have anything free from the beast. But that's not true. History has shown us that when people of conscience get together, they can work outside of the beast system. They can form communities, just like the Amish have done here. The Amish have never acquiesced, even when America was on better moral grounds. The Amish had their own way. They went their own way. They said, go ahead, you guys, you know, you do your thing, but we're going to do ours. And whether you like the ideology or even the theology of the Amish, that's not the point. The point is that the Amish got together as a group, and I grew up in Amish country in Pennsylvania. And, you know, I got to see it up close and personal. So, I know it works. And one of the beautiful things was how the Amish respond to natural disasters, like a house or a barn burning, or families all of a sudden coming upon hard times and all. They respond as a community. And I watched them build a person's barn after a barn burning. And it was very interesting how they did it. There's one man who's like the foreman and he's in charge. And he's telling what piece of wood or lumber or timber is to be put where. And it was almost like a tinker toy going up. Because every piece of lumber in the barn has an alphanumeric stamp on it, an identifying stamp. So they know exactly where that piece of wood will go in order to build the barn. And every family is assigned a different piece of wood to build to have ready for any kind of emergency. It's not like they run out into the woods and chop down a tree, because you have to season the wood, and that takes time. So as soon as there's a barn raising or a new house put up for a neighbor, they go out and chop down a tree and dress it and start to cure it for the next time there's trouble. You see, it's forethought. Again, biblical principles. Biblical principles. So, I got to see that, and we can follow that example, the Amish example, in this day and age. So, again, when the righteous govern, things get better, but now we live in a state of fear. And Richard Buckminster Fuller was very right. We just need to build a new model that makes the existing model obsolete. Ralph Waldo Emerson said, if a man can write a better book, preach a better sermon, or make a better mousetrap than his neighbors, though he builds his house in the woods, meaning away from civilization, the world will make a beaten path to his door. In other words, if we build a better society, if we improve over this beast system as a group, as individuals or a group, those of the world who can still think, those of the world who still have a conscience, will beat a path to your door, because in the end, you must have people of integrity and talent running the show. That's just the way it is. Right now, the sickest, most demented, the most immoral in our cacistocracy are in charge. And they have almost destroyed our military. There's a gentleman with a YouTube channel from the lair, and his name is Terrence Pop. He's a veteran. And he did an analysis of the state of our military today and the ridiculous woke things that our military is involved in, literally destroying the effectiveness of our military from within because of these idiotic, retarded policies we have. Well, no system can survive such idiocy for very long. So we are effectively on our way out. The Babylonian side of America is on its way out. The mystery Babylon is going to burn to the ground. And so the wise, the prudent among us must make preparations for that. And it's starting to happen. Right now there's a severe shortage of fertilizer. Now that's man-made. They're blaming the Ukraine and Russian situation, but it's man-made, okay? It's not by nature. This is all man-made. However, it is a fact that we will have a shortage of fertilizer, but do the organic farmers care? No, because they didn't use commercial fertilizers anyway. Do the organic local farmers and local entrepreneurs and individuals, do they care that big pharma is not producing fertilizer? No, because you can't be organic if you're going to use commercial fertilizers, which have herbicides and insecticides and sometimes GMO ingredients. Okay, so who is harmed by the lack of fertilizer? Us? No. It's not going to affect me one bit because I don't buy anything from the big box stores selling their poison. So once again, the media wants to create fear, which is false evidence appearing real, in everybody, like they're going to starve. But people that have already gone over to the organic side, it's not going to bother us. Now, the increase in the price of gasoline is going to affect things. Prices are going to go up, etc. But here again, maybe if the prices go up, people will start doing what we should have been doing all along, which is growing our own food. Getting back to family farms. Getting away from cities. That's where Babylon lives. That's the headquarters for the Babylonians, is your major population centers and cities. We need to get back to family farms, living as our ancestors did, the ones that were doing it right anyway, for many, many years. I like reading this quote from the Japanese samurai code of conduct known as Bushido, the way of the warrior. This is so much common sense, it's unbelievable. The only solution for bad and violent people is good people that are more skilled in violence, which is exactly what the samurai were in Japan. Samurai means servant. Who were they the servant of? The righteous. They were better skilled in violence, meaning warfare, sword play, than criminals, your typical thief or your rapist or your totalitarian individuals with their mercenaries. The samurai were the best warriors of the day. But they were righteous. Do you see the point? Okay. When we righteous men decide that we will be better trained at violence, and when it's called for, use that violence. I love it. Everybody today goes, "Well, I'm not advocating violence." Well, that's funny. The Bible calls for violence. If you want to call it violence, it's called judgment against the wicked. The samurai used violence in the protection of the innocent, just as the knights of the Middle Ages took a solemn vow to protect the innocent, the widows and the orphans, and the code of chivalry with the knights when the knights were righteous men. It was the same idea. They were better trained. They trained at violence or warfare continually, so that when wicked men rose up to do wicked things, they would be cut down. Nobody advocates violence against righteous people. It's only violence against the wicked, which is a biblical concept. So if you're against all violence, then you're actually against biblical teaching. Because violence to protect the innocent, violence to protect the righteous is a virtue, is a commandment of our Father. So the Japanese Bushido Code is very apropos. Ezra Pound, who was persecuted for his truths in his day, especially by Jews, and here's why. Ezra Pound said, "Get the Jews out of government, and they cannot betray the nation." You want to know why Germany lost World War II? Because contrary to what the mass media and the Jewish-controlled Hollywood is telling you, the Germans did not remove Jews from power. They took out the assassins and those committing espionage, etc., against their country, but they did not remove Jews from banking. They did not remove Jews from their military, especially their generals and admirals. They did not remove Jews from the pharmaceuticals and other industries. The Jews were still there. And many of them were in government. And so, as Ezra Pound says, when you have them within those organizations, you have an enemy. You have a spy and an enemy working against the best interests of your country. Germany lost not because they were morally on the wrong side. They lost because they had enemies and spies within their government and did not remove them. And they sure as hell weren't trying to exterminate them. That's just total 100% bullshit. Yes, I'm talking about the whole Holocaust bullshit industry that is to make white men and especially Germans feel guilty for something that didn't even happen. And that's so easy to prove, we're not even going to go down that rabbit hole today. I mean, most of my listeners obviously know that that is just a total bullshit story. And it's so easy to prove. But you cannot prove anything to people with closed minds. And you cannot prove anything to people who live in a state of fear. Okay? The government creates fear, and that's the main job of the media, by the way, the mainstream media, is to create fear, because fearful people can be led around by the nose. Fearful people cannot be reasoned with. And so the first step to coming away from Babylon, besides belief and faith in our Father above and Messiah, is to eliminate the beast in your home. And that's by turning off your television set. Turning off television is a major step in the right direction. Just turn it off. Disconnect it from the cable. Turn the damn thing off. There is nothing of value coming across that piece of shit. And I'm using vernacular here, and I hope that doesn't offend too many people, but it's because I'm passionate about this. That black box in your home is an idol to Satan. It really is. There is nothing of value coming across that, especially if you're hooked up to cable. That's an atrocious thing. Charles Eisenstein, who is an author, said the primary method by which governments increase their control is by creating fear. Hallelujah. Why do they hate the gospel so much? Right? Because those with faith in Christ, those with faith in Yahweh, excuse me, they don't have fear. And the government must have you afraid. Bertrand Russell said, neither a man, nor a crowd, nor a nation can be trusted to act humanely or to think sanely under the influence of a great fear. Again, little one-liners that are full of wisdom. Most wisdom is that way, including scripture in Psalms and Proverbs. Very short verses, very short sentences that say a ton of wisdom. So Bertrand Russell is very right. We can't trust anything, man, crowd, or nation, to act humanely or to think sanely. Because obviously everybody's insane today. When they are under the influence of a great fear. And again, the great fear is being generated by electronics, whether it's through your tablet, your cell phone, or your television set. Fear, 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 fear. And we have to come out of that. 1 Peter chapter 1, starting at verse 13. Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Be sober and set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you in the revelation, or the apocalypse, of Yahshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ. As children of obedience, not conforming yourselves according to your former lusts, as in your ignorance, but just as he who called you is holy, meaning separated or consecrated, you yourselves also be holy in all your behavior, because it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. And that's referring to Leviticus chapter 11. If you call on him as Father, Abba Father, who without respect of persons judges according to each man's work. Judges according to each man's work. I thought works weren't important. Pass the time of your living as foreigners here in reverent fear. Now this fear could have been translated worship, meaning worship of the Most High. Knowing that you were redeemed, not with corruptible things, like silver or gold, from the useless way of life handed down from your fathers. So there are some fathers that don't deserve much respect, right? But with precious blood, as of a lamb without blemish or spot, the blood of Yahshua HaMashiach, who has for known indeed before the foundation of the earth, but was revealed in this last age for your sake. So we're in the last age since the time of Christ. Who through him are believers in Yahweh God, who raised them from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope might be in Yahweh God. Hallelujah. Again, no fear. No fear when you know who you are, you know who Messiah is, and where we're going when we leave this earth, because we are leaving this earth at some point. You know that. That's part of life. We just deal with it, right? I sure hope everybody knows that. Especially if you're here listening to this broadcast. This life is temporary at best. This life will be a flash in the pan, and I'm here to tell you that it is. My life, it is astounding to me that I've walked this earth for as many years as I have, because it seems like only yesterday I was a boy on the farm and playing Little League baseball. And yet here I sit many years later, and having traveled down many roads to get to this point. But I would not trade a single episode in my life, even the fearful ones, even the dark days where I was being persecuted and in the belly of the beast, so to speak. No, because there was great learning that happened then. There was great faith that came because of that. There was crying out in prayer with hot tears. I used to read about that when I was a boy, reading the Bible, that some of our ancestors prayed with hot tears and cried out to the Father. I didn't learn the meaning of that until I was deep in the belly of the beast, and there appeared to be no way out. That it was curtains, so to speak. Not my life, but what we were trying to accomplish would never happen. So again, all things work to the good for those who are called of Yahweh and loved by Him according to His purpose. So in my life anyway, that's the way it's been. Even stuff that hurts like hell. Because sometimes we have to be hurt like hell to get our attention, to be honest. We are so imbued in this Babylonian system, thinking that this Babylonian system is paradise when it's actually a great big trap. If you worship material things or this Babylonian system more than the author of life itself, what does it say about us? So again, we need to lose the fear and get back to our first love. While we're talking about it, before I read these verses to you, all wars on this earth are banker wars. All of them, okay? There are no real terrorist groups. ISIS, Al-Qaeda, they were all created by intelligence agencies of the Five Eyes countries. They're funded by them. They're formed by them. Most of the members of it are former intelligence agents or military mercenaries who, for a paycheck, will do almost anything. Okay? They're picked for that very reason. So, all acts of violence by so-called terrorist groups and all of these military conflicts, they're all orchestrated by bankers. There's always a money to be made scheme or resources to be stolen scheme, or to punish, as in Muammar Gaddafi and Saddam Hussein, to punish those who would step out of line with the New World Order. Okay, that's the only violence that actually exists. Man-made violence by governments in collusion with bankers. Okay, there is no violence that just naturally uprises. Not to that level. Okay? You may have a rapist in the neighborhood or somebody that breaks and enters into your home to steal. Yeah, that'll happen once in a while, but if you do what Yahweh tells you to do, they won't be with us much longer. Okay? The rapist would be dead. The murderer would be dead. The traitor would be dead. The pedophile would be dead. Okay? So, again, solutions are simple, and we have to think past the fear that's created by the media. Now, on the topic of fear, we want to read a few verses. We'll start in Isaiah 41, verse 10. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your Elohim God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. The right hand always is referring to power and strength. Even in the Bible, right was considered positive and power. Left was considered opposed to that, evil even sometimes. Weakness, ignorance, anti-Christ behavior was referred to as the left. That's why communism and liberalism is always referred to as the left. It goes back to biblical times. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, for Yahweh God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. We don't need tyrants in the form of man-made governments lording over us. Even George Washington and the other founding fathers said that we have given you a constitution, but it is only for a moral, meaning self-controlled, people. There's too much liberty in it, too much wiggle room for immoral people. It will not work. Well, it's not working today because we are led by psychopaths. We live in a kakistocracy. No constitution can be written that will work when your people are immoral. Consequently, almost any type of formal setting for government, whether it's the Articles of Confederation, which Michael Gaddy and some of his buddies are talking about on their radio shows, the Articles of Confederation weren't much better, but even the Articles of Confederation require that the people be moral. Okay, when your country has become just basically pagan, there's almost nothing you can write that's going to be honored, because pagans, atheists, Jews, who are Satan worshipers, they don't respect written documents. I've seen that up close and personal in the court system. If you expect a Jew to obey anything written in paper, you're crazy. They consider that stuff for you. They operate by a whole different set of values, okay? They're Talmudists, Satanists. They are not going to care one bit whether it's a constitution, Articles of Confederation, or a brand new set of rules that we come up with. They will be opposed to it. They are anti-Christ, anti-Yahweh, anti-good, anti-moral, anti-virtuous. Just as Christ said. 1 John 4, verse 18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. Of course, he's talking about love of Yahweh, our Father, our Creator, Abba Father. Okay, he's not talking about love for sinners and love for criminals and love for reprobates and love for queers and all this other stuff. That's bullshit. He's talking about a reverent love for the Creator and his rules. Those are the only rules that matter. Anybody telling you that man-made rules are what we have to live by and to the detriment or against God's law is a liar. Go read the commentaries of William Blackstone, who was considered throughout the ages here, or since the Middle Ages anyway, the latter part of the Middle Ages. William Blackstone was considered one of the greatest jurists of all time. His commentaries were taught in all the major law schools. Again, very commonsensical, very rational, very biblical. William Blackstone said, any law created by any group of men that runs counter to God's law is no law at all. How much simpler can it be? Peter said the same thing. If you have to make a choice between God's law and man's law, you must choose God's law. Again, that's what Peter said, or don't you believe it? No, All you Bible people carrying your Bibles, do you believe Peter or not? Do you believe what Messiah said or not? If you love me, obey my commandments. What commandments? How about the Ten Commandments? Well, he changed it to just two. Well, he boiled it down to those two, but they stem from the Ten. All right? It's pretty obvious. Yahweh said to show your love for me by obeying my commandments, not the commandments of men. Psalm 34, verse 4, I sought Yahweh, and he answered me and delivered me from all my fears. Not some of my fears, all of my fears. That's why the enemy hates the identity message. The identity message teaches biblical truths. And I mean in your face biblical truths. It doesn't soft soap anything. It doesn't placate you with niceties and, well, we don't want to offend anybody. No, we do want to offend you. I know I want to offend you. I do. Because our people are asleep at the wheel. They're zombies. They are the walking dead of Ezekiel 37 and 38. That valley of dead and dry bones. That's our people. So do I want to offend you? I sure as hell do. Because the behavior of our people today offends me. So if it offends me, I can guarantee you it offends my Creator Father in heaven. So offending you is the least of my worries. Most of the people I've ever met that teach this biblical truth called identity, we don't mind stepping on toes and offending. Because if you're so in love with the world, and you're so in love with the lies and deceptions of that, what do I care what you think? Why would I even care what the hell you would say to me or think about me? If you like this world, especially as sick and demented as it is today, I got nothing to do with you. I don't want you around me, just as you don't want me around you. This is a test, ladies and gentlemen. Our time upon this earth is a test. Whom do you really love? Whom will you obey? Choose this day, as Joshua said, whom you shall serve, either man or the living God. Choose. Joshua, speaking of Joshua, Joshua 1, verse 9. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed, for Yahweh God is with you wherever you go. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Again, so much wisdom packed in a single verse. Joshua 1, verse 9. If people could just live that one verse, how much better would the world be? Stop living in fear. That's how tyrants and dictators and psychopaths want you to be afraid. Proverbs 29, verse 25. The fear of man lays a snare, but whoever trusts in Yahweh is safe. The fear of man lays a snare. Do you feel snared, people? Yeah, you've been caught in a great big net. You've been snared like a wild animal, and you're trapped till you break free. Psalm 23, how many times have we heard that? We'll read 1 through 6. Yahweh is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures, meaning he'll see to your earthly needs as far as food and things such as that. He leads me beside still waters, meaning calm waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake, not yours and mine. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. The implements of a shepherd. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Hallelujah. Again, in juxtaposition to what's going on in this world today, as we talked about, they are man-made food shortages, man-made gasoline and fuel shortages. They're all man-made. Man-made wars. All of it. All of it. And yet, for the communities of believers who operate outside the Babylonian system, and the Amish community, by the way, do you think they care that the Federal Reserve is doing what it's doing to destroy the value of the U.S. dollar? Not really. They can survive without U.S. dollars. So can these other communities that are popping up all across the world. Self-sufficient communities of people working together with the purpose of living life as Yahweh intended rather than this man-made fake and phony system we find ourselves in. It's a choice. It boils down to the fact of it being a choice. Psalm 56, verses 3 and 4. When I am afraid, I put my trust in you. In Yahweh God, whose word I praise, in Yahweh God I trust. I shall not be afraid. What can flesh do to me? Amen. Amen to that. What can flesh do to you? Once you are his child, what can flesh do to you? Virtually nothing. And besides that, even if you live an ideal life with all kinds of money and all this other stuff, we live in corruptible bodies, meaning they are dying. From the moment you are born, they are headed for the grave. You can't do anything about that. So when it says, what can flesh do to me, it's not just talking about criminals and psychopaths. It's talking about your own corruptible flesh, aging and preparing for the grave. That's just the way it is. Those of us on the inside, our spiritual side, lives on. That's why it says that death means simply that we pass from this world straight to the other side. In the old days, they didn't talk about people dying. And when I was a boy, we didn't talk much about dying. We said that somebody had passed, meaning they passed over from this corruptible, sin-filled world to the incorruptible one on the other side, from where we came. Why we are here, that's debatable for each one of us. Did we come here voluntarily? I believe some of us did. We were sent here with a purpose. We volunteered for it. Do we have any memory of that or recollection of that? No, we do not. For one thing, how could this be a test if we had recollection of the beauty on the other side? As one preacher told me one day, he said, if we could remember where we came from, we'd be committing suicide tonight. That stuck with me for a very, very long time. And it's true. We would not behave as we have in this world if we already knew where we came from and what's on the other side. So where would the test be? There would be no test. The test is the fact that that part of our memory has been erased. We have no recollection before the womb. He does. You and I do not. Philippians 4:6, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to Yahweh God. Deuteronomy 31, verse 6, be strong and courageous. Do not fear or be in dread of them, for it is Yahweh God who goes with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. Thank goodness. Romans 8:15, For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. Hallelujah. Psalm 27, verse 1, a psalm of David. Yahweh God is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Yahweh is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? John 14, verse 27. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Romans 8, 38 and 39, for I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of Yahweh God in our Messiah, Yahshua, Jesus the Christ. Hallelujah. And 1 Peter 5, 6, and 7. Humble yourselves. Ooh, there's that word that we've forgotten all about, humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of Yahweh God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him, because he cares for you. Thank you, Ella. So, again, fear not. Fear is... Well, I like that old quote that everything you've ever wanted is on the other side of fear. The enemy wants you afraid. Yahweh does not. So, again, there's food shortages, especially in certain parts of the country. If you live in a state where you grow a lot of your own stuff, you may not see it as badly, but some states depend on outside deliveries of food. They're probably going to be in trouble. But here again, nothing is stopping any of us from going out and getting a couple grow towers. Professor James McCanny produces some very, very nice towers that will produce tremendous amounts of food. Or, as my son is doing, he's building his own grow towers out of 3 and 5 gallon buckets. You can pick them up pretty cheap, and with a little bit of ingenuity and work, you can make your own grow towers. And he's proving it by doing it himself. And again, if somebody else has already done it, then why make the mistakes and reinvent the wheel? Go talk to the people that have done it and find out the do's and don'ts. And you can grow a grow tower. Now, grow towers are for people that have a very limited amount of space. I know some people that live in apartment buildings with balconies. And on their balconies, they're able to grow enough food for themselves. Abundant food. Okay, that's on a balcony. If you have access to any kind of area out on a patio, a carport, or if you live on a half acre or something like that, you've got plenty of room for a greenhouse or a raised bed garden, or you could put in grow towers if you want to keep it simple and keep it all condensed. You have a lot of options. And it's a lot of fun planting seeds and watching them grow, knowing that you know everything about the food that you're about to eat. You know the seeds are not hybrid seeds. They're heirloom because you obtained them yourself. Or you let your vegetables and fruits go to seed and collected your own seeds. That's even better. You see, it's dark for people who can't think beyond what television and the lying oligarchs, these psychopaths in charge today, they want you to be a perpetual consumer. Their system relies on you being a perpetual consumer. Whereas Yahweh sets you free from all that. Because he said, what do you really need to be the men and women that I wanted you to be? What do you really need? Shelter? Some clothing? Clean food and clean water? And clean air? And sunshine? That's about it. What else do you need? To live the life that Yahweh intended, what else do you actually need? Not much. Now, do you want other things? Oh, yeah, you want a bigger house. You want cars. You want motorcycles. You want boats. You want electronics. You want lots of things. But do you need them? No, you don't. And here's the problem. Father is not upset that we want some of these nicer things, okay? That's not what upsets the Father. What upsets the Father is when you're willing to sell your integrity, your soul, your character, your reputation to get them. When you're willing to commit crimes against nature, crimes against the Father, in order to obtain them, you now become a slave to the beast. That's what he's upset about. Like these mercenaries who are doing the dirty work for these contractors and for people like Vanguard and BlackRock and for these Zionist pigs around the world that are destroying innocent people by the hundreds of thousands, all in the name of getting their resources or destroying them for some other political purpose. Those are the people who will be damned. Anybody who sells their soul to the beast for just the trinkets of this world, they're lost. They're lost. And as Ralph in Canada says, we should pray imprecatory prayer against them. Curse them, in other words. We don't pray for them like the mainstream churches. That's bullshit. I curse them. I curse them from the top of their heads to their toes. The people in Washington, D.C., I curse them. The people in most of our state governments, I curse them. Because they know damn well what they're doing is wrong, and yet they do it anyway. To preserve what? A paycheck? A pension? Or some other stipend that the beast promises them, if they will just comply? The medical profession, I curse them. Even though I have relatives and friends who are in the medical profession, I curse anybody going along with this whole pandemic charade. And now the whole charade that food shortages and fertilizer shortages are due to what's going on in the Ukraine. You people were sound asleep ever since 2014 when our government, under Jewish control, went over there and helped to undermine regime change, and the constitutionally elected person was taken out of power, and Jewish proxies were put in charge of Ukraine. You didn't care. And once the Jews got in charge of Ukraine, the money laundering, sex trafficking, organ harvesting, etc., went on full, all of it went on full time, and the murdering of the ethnic Russians living in Donbass and Luhansk, as well as elsewhere. Anybody who were standing against them became targets. You didn't care. For 8 years, you didn't care. Because the media didn't tell you to care. So again, choose this day whom you will serve. Now, before I close for the day, I'm going to give credit to Ella for this. This was a correspondence she had with a sister, not literal sister, but sister in faith. And I want to read a few of things out of it and some scripture out of it, because these are the examples of where we are at war with ignorance and the beast on an individual level. As it says in scripture, by his spirit, Okay, we can make war by words from our wild. It doesn't always have to be a sharp sword, a spear, or even a rifle. It can be our testimony. And they got into this altercation based upon the ladies talking about a recent article or video put out by Pastor Chuck Baldwin. And Ella points out that he does not get it right many times. Okay, I don't want to go into too many details here, because this is, again, personal correspondence. But the point of it is, this lady was basically praising Chuck Baldwin in his address or his statements. And Ella was pointing out that Chuck Baldwin many times leaves out the identity part of Scripture and some of the other obvious errors in the written word. And she makes reference to Isaiah chapter 28, starting at verse 9. Whom will he teach knowledge? To whom will he explain the message? Those who are weaned from milk, meaning babes, and drawn from the breast, okay? Young believers are like babes. They are nursing. They need pablum or baby food, okay? So he will teach the hard lessons to those who have gone beyond that stage. For it is precept upon precept, precept on precept, line on line, line on line, here a little and there a little. In other words, it's a group effort. Okay? No one of us have been given all of the knowledge necessary. There are no, quote, leaders that you and I are to follow blindly, because they are the keeper of the keys, so to speak. They are the enlightened ones. No, no, that's not the way it works. Not at this time. You and I are to work together as a family. That's how we succeed. That's how we are victorious as a family. Leaning on each other. Even though I go by Pastor Dan, that simply means a shepherd. That's all that means. It does not mean I am perfect. It does not mean that I have all wisdom. It does not mean that you should turn your brains off or your discernment off and just listen to me. No, 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 no. You don't get that pass, and neither do I. You got to be doing the work as well. I share with you because Yahweh has led me into a position to where He opened doors and I went into them that led to a radio program because of my technician knowledge and broadcasting knowledge and familiarity with technology, etc. It was a tool for me to get truth out, and I took it. Each of us is different in that regard. Okay? And Ella says here, what you consume determines your health by your immune system. Amen. You are what you eat. How many times have we talked about that? So again, Yahweh will reveal these things to those with discernment and those with basically elder positions, meaning you've been around for a while. Okay? So let me see. I want to get to some other points here. We are told that there will be no outward signs of his coming and the end of the age, for example, lights in the sky, etc., but it would come at a time of great darkness. Now, that darkness is talking about ignorance, particularly ignorance of Yahweh and his law. And she says parenthetically that people have stopped believing in Yahweh God and prefer to believe what the television newscasters tell them. Project Bluebeam has been known to us for a very long time. They can make anything happen up in the sky and make it very believable. As in lying signs and wonders, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Then the lawless one will be revealed, whom Yahweh will kill with the breath of his mouth. He will kill the lawless ones. Whoa! And destroyed by the manifestation of his coming. Even he whose coming is according to the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. Yeah, who wants signs? Who's asking for signs? Those with little faith. They're always asking for signs. And with all deception of wickedness for those who are being lost, because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. Again, we go to that Greek word translated here, soter, to be saved. The church world says, come down and pray the sinner's prayer and you're saved. I got news for you. That word in the Greek language means to protect or prevent harm here and now from physical, not emotional or spiritual, but physical harm. If you don't love the truth, you will be harmed. Because of this, Yahweh God sends them a working of error, called a great deception, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be judged who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Whoa! That's most of these zombies out here, isn't it? Yahweh told us that the Holy Spirit would tell us of things to come. Amen. How many times have we talked about the Holy Spirit? All believers who study the Bible as their hearts tell them to, by themselves, are, quote, anointed by the Holy Spirit. And those who do this will get gifts from the Father. Referring to 1 John chapter 2, therefore, as for you, let that remain in you which you heard from the beginning. Heard, not read, heard. If that which you heard from the beginning remains in you, you also will remain in the Son and in the Father. This is the promise which he promised us, the eternal life. These things I have written to you concerning those who would lead you astray. As for you, the anointing which you received from him remains in you, and you do not need for anyone to teach you. But as his... Excuse me. As for you, the anointing which you received from him remains in you, and you do not need for anyone to teach you. I said that. But as his anointing teaches you concerning all things, and is true, and is no lie, and even as it taught you, you will remain in him. Now, little children, remain in him, that when he appears, we may have boldness and not be ashamed before him at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone who practices righteousness has been born of him. John 16:12, I still have many things to tell you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak from himself, but whatever he hears, he will speak. In other words, he will convey from the Father himself to you. He will declare to you things that are coming. He will glorify me, for he will take from what is mine, and will declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that he takes of mine and will declare it to you. A little while, and you will not see me. Again, a little while, and you will see me. Hallelujah. That's the promise, right? So, very good. All right. Dear Heavenly Father, we give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. We thank you for this opportunity to share with our brothers and sisters. We thank you for the platform that you have provided. We hope we use it wisely. Help us and guide us as we try to expand the platform to enable guests and some maybe sometimes callers. But for the time being, we have what we need, and we do praise you for that. Be with all of your sons and daughters, as we try to stand tall today, be good witnesses and ambassadors in your name, bringing truth to a world that's washed with lies and deceptions. The truth of you, the truth of the Father, the truth of the Holy Scriptures. the truth and wisdom that our ancient fathers had with them. But unfortunately, many of our ancestors have let go of. And we today, as their children, seem to be following in their footsteps, shamefully. For those who have had the epiphany and realize this, Father, we ask that you would bless them, that you would anoint them with the Holy Spirit, wash them anew with the blood of the Christ, that they might become new creatures in you and stand tall in righteousness and the preaching of the good news. That you are with us no matter where we go, no matter what is going on around us. You do not forsake your children, ever. We have turned our backs on you, Father, many times. But for your name's sake and for your love, and for what has been written through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, you will stand for truth, and you do not let us down. Help us to take hold of your hand once again and be led as children by the one who deserves to have our admiration and our reverence. And have us turn away from the government of men, which is evil to the core. Have us turn away from the mainstream and alternative medias that are pumping out lies and deceptions through intelligence agencies and nefarious organizations. Have the Holy Spirit minister to your children. The world is about to go through a great change, Father Yahweh. The wicked will perish. The righteous will shine. And we will have a new heaven and a new earth. And your law will be the law of the land. And only those who love you and worship you will survive. To that end and to that glorious day, Father, we ask that you walk with us and guide us in all that we say and do to thy glory and for thy kingdom. In the name of Yahweh, we do ask. Hallelujah.
I was born on the wings of an eagle in this one-time wonderful land of free people. I was planted right straight down on a piece of sanctified ground that was written about in my holy Bible. I was raised in the backwoods of Virginia. I took my first two steps and discovered Carolina. I was a natural freeborn child, growing up green and wild. I was one of the original sons of liberty, y'all. I'm a free man, nobody better tread on me. Nobody better try to say that I'm his boy, 'cause I'm a son of liberty. Yes, I'm a free man, and I'm here to make some history. I won't compromise with tyranny. I won't tolerate attacks upon my cup of tea, 'cause I'm a free man. Nobody better tread on me. I said nobody better tread on me. I learned to fight in the War of Independence, where I defended the rights of all of my descendants. I finally earned my wings to fly on that famous 4th of July, when I proved to the world that I could make a difference. Was temporarily defeated in the Southland when them federal boys invaded God's grace land. And since the war between the states, they tried to keep us all federal slaves. But you know me and the Lord in the South, we're gonna rise again, friend. 'Cause I'm a free man, nobody better tread on me. Nobody better try to say that I'm his boy, 'cause I'm a son of liberty. Yes, I'm a free man, and I'm here to make some history. I won't compromise with tyranny. I won't tolerate no statutory slavery, 'cause I'm a free man. Nobody better tread on me. Nobody better tread on me. It's time we see that the enemy's within us. And even right today, they're trying to Washington deceive us. They thought they had us all surrounded up in that there Montana township. But all they did was create a couple more million of us. Yes, I'm a free man. Nobody better tread on me. Nobody better try to say that I'm his boy, 'cause I'm a son of liberty. Yes, I'm a free man, and I'm here to make some history. I ain't liable for, no subject to, no regulated by internal revenue, 'cause I'm a free man. Nobody better tread on me, because the Lord, you see, he set me free. And where the spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. To be a free man, nobody better tread on me. I said nobody better tread on me.
From the fields of air, and in my cage I sit and sing to him who placed me there. Well pleased a prisoner to be. Because my God, it pleases thee. Not have I else to do but sing the whole day long to him whom I most love to please, doth wish to listen to my song. He caught and bound my wandering wings, but still he bends to hear me sing. Thou hast an ear to hear and a heart to love and bless. And though my notes may err so rude, thou wouldst not hear me the less, because thou knowest as they fall that love, sweet love, inspires them all. My cage surrounds me round about, I cannot fly. And though my wing is closely bound, my beating heart's at liberty. These prison walls cannot control the flight, the freedom of my soul. These bars and bolts above, to him whose purpose I adore, to him whose providence I love. And in thy mighty will to find
the joy, the freedom of the mind. Not have I else to do but sing the whole day long. To him whom I most love to please, that wish to listen to my song. He caught and bound my wandering wing. But still he bends to hear me sing.
Fade away to the moon. there's love in your life, stabbed in knife in my heart. Yeah, yeah, I'm gonna run away, midnight hideaway. Don't you fade away to the morning light. I'm gonna run away. Yeah, yeah, gonna run away. Midnight hideaway. Don't you fade away to the morning light. I'm gonna run away. Midnight hideaway. Don't you fade away to the morning light. You might fade away. You might fade away. She might fade away, she might fade away, might fade away, she might fade away, she might fade away, she might fade away, she might fade away.
You think your plans were secret when you left your office last night and you closed the door behind you? Were you walking in your sleep or were you just too tired to notice all the watchful eyes upon you? There's the man who does the maintenance and the maid who cleans the carpets in the hall. And the guard down in the lobby through a hidden TV camera saw it all. This little birdie told me who was talking to a fly upon the wall. So when you think nobody's looking, I'm the eye that passes by you. When you think nobody's listening, I'm the listener. I'm the resistor.
Another crazed commuter on the information highway who just just crashed inside your email. When I was in your part of town, I strolled around and slipped this note under your door. So when you think nobody's looking, I'm the eye that passes by you. When you think nobody's listening, I'm the listener. I'm the resistor. Sign the resistor.